And thank all of you for being here this morning. We do have a number of people that are ill and out this morning. But anyway, we're so glad and thankful unto God that we can be able to gather here and to worship and honor the one in whose name we have come this morning. That is the name of Jesus our Lord, who gave his life upon a cross for us when we were just little things, little creatures upon this earth. But you know, I have come to believe that God uses small things for great purposes. He does. You ever thought about the little things of life and how we miss them when they are taken away? Just a little light that goes out. Oh, how we miss it. Or the water is turned off for just a few hours, how we miss it. We could just go on and on to think about the little things of life. You know, a mighty oak starts off with just a little acorn, doesn't it? It does. It amazes me sometimes how God can use little things like that acorn or like this mustard seed, of whom Jesus said was the smallest seed known to mankind in his particular day. But those little things can grow into mighty things. And in the book of Zechariah, the Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Think about our technology today and how advanced we have become. By just little things, that microchip that goes in your phone or in your computer or in your iPad or iPod. Think about all those things that are used in modern technology in our space program, and they are just simply little things, but they mean a tremendous amount to our world. I want you to consider this morning with me the little things of life and why they mean so much and to whom they mean a lot. Well, first of all and foremost, I would have to tell you this morning that the little things of life mean a lot to God. When you read the Bible, you understand that there were little things that Jesus talked about when he developed great lessons. He did. There were so many times he did that. And that's why God's prophet in the Old Testament says that we're not to despise or hate the day of small things. You know, isn't it the little things in life that really mean a lot to us? I think of some of the great biblical examples that I alluded to a moment ago in the book of Genesis chapter 6 through 9. It was the story of a man by the name of Noah. God used one man to bring about the salvation of the human race in the Old Testament. The world had become so grossly wicked, if you will, that God says, I'm going to destroy man whom I have created upon the face of the earth. But God prevailed upon Noah to the building of an ark that had never been built before, rain that they had never seen fall from heaven until the book of Genesis, where the Bible says that the water went up from the earth and watered the earth. But now for the first time, they're going to see rain, and they considered it just a little thing, but it really became a mighty thing because it flooded the earth, the known world, as it was in the days of Noah. But God used that one man. He used one man by the name of Moses to lead the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage to the great and glorious promised land. Now, Moses didn't get to go in because he committed one little sin. Instead of speaking to the rock at Kadesh Barnea or at Rebidim, why, the Bible says that he smote that rock as if to make it appear that Moses was the one that brought forth water for the thirsting Israelites, but in reality it was God himself. You can go back and read it in the book of Exodus. But God used one man to rally Israel against the Philistines in the book of 1 Samuel 17. It was a young boy by the name of David. Now, David wasn't a mighty man. He wasn't a man of valor like you would consider other men to be. But he was a young shepherd boy. He was known as the sweet singer of Israel. He was the one who actually soothed the nerves of King Saul with beautiful music. And yet God reached out to this young man of the household of Jesse, and we know that his brothers were almost intimidated because God used him to slay this great giant named Goliath. Goliath had taunted the children of Israel day after day. And they didn't know exactly what they were going to do. They had tried everything in the world. And David made available unto King Saul himself. And he says, I will go up. Saul says, well, we're going to have to put the armor on you and give you the spear. And we're going to have to make ready. He says, no, I will go in the name of God Almighty. And he did. And he took those five little stones with him. But you know, he brought down Goliath with just one little stone. A small thing. A small thing. God uses small things. He used one man to overcome corruption in Israel by the name of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18. We could go on and on, but God used a woman by the name of Esther who actually became a queen who served God honorably. I think about the poor widow in the Bible who cast in her last two mites. It was her way of honoring God, and God said that this woman had given more than all of those who had come by the coffery. Because she gave her very living. She didn't know where her next meal was coming from. She didn't know where her next garment would come from. But she cast in her two mites. The account is given, by the way, in the book of Mark chapter 12, verse 42 and following. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, one translation says, which amount to a cent, 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said unto them, truly I say unto you, this poor widow put in more than all they that contributed into the treasury. Sometimes, even in today's world, the things that we consider so small, Jesus said would not go without their blessing. I think about a cup of cold water. You know, there's nothing more refreshing on a hot day than just a cup of cold water. And you know, God uses a cup of cold water to bless people. For in Matthew 10:42, he says, that cup of cold water will not go without its reward. Now that tells me, when I look at all those examples, it tells me that God takes note of small things. I have also come to realize that one's giving isn't based on the size of his wallet, but in reality on the size of a person's heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus taught that we're to give from the heart, are we not? God is honored with small things. But secondly, little things mean a lot to other people. You know, if the truth were known right now, if I were to go around the room and I were to ask you this morning, can you remember any little things that were done for you? Sometimes we remember big things, but you know what? Sometimes we remember little things. Maybe a meal that was delivered to your house unexpectedly. Maybe a gift that came your way from someone who loved you or who wanted to say, hey, I love you and I was thinking about you. Maybe the visit to the hospital. Maybe a card to someone who'd lost a loved one in death. Just the little things of life. He used a little child one time to illustrate a tremendous lesson. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, the disciples were all in a big quandary, like a lot of people are. Like, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's a question they were asking. And they got an answer that certainly was not the answer they were looking for. For Jesus reached out and he took a little child. I don't know how old this child was, but it was a small child. And he put that child in the presence of them. And he said, unless you become like this little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You mean adults have to become like children? Sometimes we taunt children and say, why don't you grow up? Why don't you become an adult? And Jesus says, why don't you become like a little child? Humble. Contrite spirit. In the book of Isaiah 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, and a little child shall lead them. There's a reason for a little child. God used a number of little things, things that mattered to others. A small boy and his lunch. In the book of John, the 6th chapter, verse 9 through 13, we well remember that story. We remember it because in reality, thousands were fed with just one small boy's lunch. Kind of get the picture here. This young boy started out his day. I don't know exactly what he was going to do, but the mother knew that he needed a lunch. He wouldn't be home at lunchtime. So she prepared him a lunch with bread and fish, and she sent him off to meet the day. And on one occasion, on that particular time, Jesus was teaching to thousands of people. And the little boy, no doubt, had migrated into where they were. And the crowd was so large, they didn't know how they were going to feed them. But Jesus took the lunch of this young boy at this young boy's bequeathing and giving, and he fed thousands of people, and they even picked up out of that 12 basketfuls. You know, one thing Jesus always did, he used word pictures, like we're doing here this morning. Jesus told stories, little things. Jesus shocked people with little things. He crafted memorable statements. Some of the most memorable statements of our time are not quotes from some great theologian somewhere, or perhaps words that were spoken by some great philosopher, but really words that came from Christ himself. And Jesus often asked questions. He used many, many little things. The parables. He told 38 parables that are recorded in the Holy Scriptures. 38 of them. He talked about the sower and the tares, Matthew 13. The mustard seed, that little seed or the little leaven that you put in an element or the treasure. He talked about the fig tree, the lost sheep, the lost son, the lost money, the publican, the rich fool, the Samaritan, and on we could go. But he used many like you and like me. He did. He used men like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in that fiery furnace. You remember in the Old Testament? He used a man by the name of Gideon to go down to the riverside and watch 300 men lap water like a dog. He used Ehud, Deborah, who became a judge, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, Timothy, Barnabas, Silas, and Titus, and on, Simon, the jailer, the Ethiopian, Dorcas, Phoebe, Claudia, Priscilla, Epaphroditus, Apollos, Aquila, Onesiphorus, Philemon, Appia, Archippus, Lydia, her household, Cornelius, and many more. You know what? These were just little unsung heroes. Little things. People in our society would not take note of those people, but Jesus did. And Jesus went about doing a lot of good things in life. For in Acts 10 and verse 38, the Bible says of Jesus that he was with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and reaching out to people that were oppressed of the devil. And he used those things to bless the lives of others. Yes, God was blessed and God was honored by the little things. But he used all of those things and those events to bless others. And if Jesus used little things to bless others, shouldn't we do the same? And do you know what? God puts little things here in this world for us to enjoy. Little things. And I'm telling you, if we were honest this morning, it is the little things that we remember most. The little things that other people would say are insignificant that we remember because they blessed our lives. And that brings me to the last point. Not only is God honored by little things and others blessed by those little things, but little things mean a lot to us now, and they will mean a lot to us in the day of our Lord. Do you realize that you cannot bless and not be blessed? For when you live to heal broken hearts, comfort troubled souls, and relieve those who have been afflicted, to give hope to the hopeless and meaning to the lives of others, you provoke the kindness and the goodness of God who is in heaven. And Galatians 6 bears it out. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. If you don't believe that happens, just observe. I have also realized through the years that the happiest people are those who do little things for others. They mean a lot to you. You know, if you've ever done something for someone, you know what? You know who gets the greater blessing? You do. You do. Now, God's honored. I mean, he takes note of that cup of cold water that you're using to bless someone else, but he also notices that you need a blessing, and he pours out from heaven a blessing upon you. The one who is happy, the one who is smiling, the one who feels good about life and living is the one who is using his life to bless other people. And they can just be random acts of kindness. It doesn't have to be something that is so orchestrated and programized and planned in life. It is just little things, little ways that we bless other people. A smile from someone. You know, when you're down and out, there is nothing more important than a smile. Just a simple smile. And no one needs one more than those who feel they have none left to give. A smile. A kind word. Well, we hear a lot of cutting remarks today from our society in which we live. But how about a kind word? How about a word spoken in love? A little act of love on our part. It is a little thing. Or a card from a friend. How many of you have ever gone maybe to the mailbox and you opened it up and there was a card from someone, there was no return address, and you're probably thinking, my, I wonder who this card's from. And you open it up and it becomes a card from someone unexpectedly. Someone that you probably in your fondest imagination would have never dreamed that they would have sent you a card. It's that little serendipity, if you will. Or maybe a call from someone when you were sick. You ever been down and out? Sick? Just a call. Little call. Doesn't take but a minute. Say, hey, I wanted you to know we miss you. Sorry you're feeling bad. Just a call. That's all. Or perhaps a text from a caring heart. An embrace when you are hurting. We have a lot of hurting people in our world. But to know that someone reaches out with their phone to text you or to embrace you when you're hurting, and many more, many, many more. But just simply little things. Sometimes we get to feel that, hey, we're not worth much to God. I know that. I hear people say it. I'm not worth much to the kingdom. But you know what? If you are a member of the body of Christ, and I'm going to tell you something. You mark it down. If you're a member of this church, you mean something to this church, and you mean something to God. And this church and the way God blesses us will mean much to you, not only now, but in days to come. I think of Dorcas in the Old Testament, how she must have been blessed. For in the book of Acts chapter 9, this woman by the name of Tabitha was a woman who made coats for people that hurt and people that had no clothing. For in Acts chapter 9, let me read it. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation. I want you to notice the word disciple also. By interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, but just little things. And alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And far as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay, but that he would come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him to that upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats, the little things, and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The Bible says that those others stood by her weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. That was such a small, insignificant thing. You know, I have little things that people have made for me through the years that I treasure. Sometimes it's just a little piece of paper where a young child had written something. But they took the time and they said to Preacher Dan, little things. Who was this Dorcas or Tabitha? We do know that, I told you to focus in on the word disciple because that's an important word here. In the Greek language, the usual word was mathetes, but the Greek word used here is the word mathetria. It's the feminine Greek word, and it's the only time, I want you to notice this, it is the only time in the New Testament where a female is actually called a disciple. Now, some would try to make some great thing out of that. It's just a little thing. Because the word disciple actually means a learner and a follower of Jesus. The Bible says that you and I, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, are to clothe ourselves with the compassion and the kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience as a child of God. You know, life is an echo, isn't it? What you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. And what you see in others will eventually exist in you without you even trying. You can't litter, however, negativity everywhere you go and then wonder why you've got a trashy life and an unhappy life. For we are to God. I like this passage in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma, the karma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Little thing. It's amazing, isn't it, how a room deodorizer can change the state of things in a given space. And the Bible says that we are the aroma of Christ. We change the world. We should enjoy the little things in life, for someday you will come to realize that they are big things. You can either sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap corruption, or you can sow to the Spirit and reap life everlasting. If you ever wonder whether or not you are important to God's work, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God called you. As every man hath received this gift of God, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. It is true that success is the sum of small efforts repeated over a period of time, day in and day out. But you know what? It is true of our lives as a whole, small things. For who hath despised the day of small things? Sometimes God will put a Goliath in your life for you to find the David within you. There could be a David in many of you right now that will eventually emerge. Let today, as someone has said, be the day you give up whom you have been for who you can become. Little things mean a lot. Little thing like baptism. And yet it's a big thing in the eyes of God, and that's why He commanded it all men everywhere to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Just a little thing. A little thing to us, but a big thing to God. You are only, you stop and think about little things. Do you know that you're only one heartbeat away from eternity? Just one. Just one. It's amazing, isn't it? Have you ever seen a heart monitor? You ever seen it stop? One heartbeat. But for the child of God, the best is yet to come. And so I challenge you this morning to take the words that I have spoken here this morning, because I've given you the words of God, and open the door to greater blessings and rewards that you will ever experience. This morning, would you name Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? And would you come humbly through a heart of repentance and conviction and present yourself for New Testament baptism to be buried with Christ, to be raised to walk in that new life? Little step, but big, big implications. Or if you're here and you're a child of God and you know that you've taken a step backward and you need to take a step forward and you need to come back to Jesus, will you do it while we stand and while we sing.